Yes, way too much pride of man going on around here. By the way, well, welcome anyway, Yahweh's Covenant people here on Eurofolk Radio. Today is December 1st, 2017, and man, are all of the exposés of child predators, sexual predators, most of them, of course, Jewish, in Hollywood and in mass media. Matt Lauer, of all people, Geraldo Rivera, and people like that being outed as sexual predators. Man, you know, we got Jews and Freemasons and Rothschilds and all these horrible people who gravitate toward positions of power, and they just love to exploit people and humiliate people from their positions of power. Could it be any more obvious? Yeah.
I always thought it was so cool when Geraldo Rivera had the Nazis on or what. He went against something or other, and they beat the crap out of him. He had to do his show. He was all beat up, and his eyes were swollen shut, and right. Bruises all over. He got the fire beat out of him.
Yeah. But the show went on? He continued to do the show?
Well, he didn't have a choice.
Okay. That's funny. Right. Well, we're here, you know, well, the old saying is the show must go on, right? So here we are, folks. Okay. We are going to continue our series on 2nd Esdras. We were in the middle, or toward the end, actually, of chapter 7. And we're talking about the sinfulness of the Israelites. And Esdras bemoaning the fact that the Israelites were so disobedient. And he basically says, Yahweh, why did you create us? Just to disobey your law and be a laughingstock of the universe? Is that why you created us? Right? So over to you, Greg. Where do you want to pick it up? Chapter 7?
Well, let's just establish the context of this incredible chapter here. Ezra having a conversation with Yahweh about just the rebelliousness of Yahweh's people. And again, we're into a very racial book here, which is why this book was hidden. This book was written for the white race at the end of the age. So it's speaking directly to us.
Yeah.
Yes. This book is speaking directly to us. And the chapter that we're going to get in tonight and the verses, to me, are some of the deepest in all of Scripture, because it lays out the eternity for the white race, and you have choice A and choice B. And it's just the most plainest scripture that there is to discuss what will be the eternal state of white people in the coming age and for eternity. And the one choice is incredibly rewarding and pleasurable and the way that we were meant to be. And the other choice, and unfortunately most of our people will go down this road, is what happens to those that reject Yahweh in this age. And brothers and sisters, it's terrifying scripture that we're going to get into tonight. It really is. It's scary. Let's establish a little bit of the context here. We're in chapter 7, 2nd Ezra. Thank you, Eli J123, for putting that link in. So folks can follow along if they don't have a copy in front of them.
Yeah, chapter 7.
So we're in chapter 7. Let's jump in at verse 60 here. Ezra is going back and forth discussing the judgment of the coming age. And we see the heart of Ezra. He goes, so also will be the judgment which I have promised. Now this is Yahweh speaking. For I will rejoice over the few who shall be saved, because it is they who have made my glory to prevail now. And through them, my name has now been honored. And we got to talk just for a second about that. To me, this is the cornerstone of Christian identity in this age. Name another part, or I don't like to use the term sect, but name anyone else in Christianity out there honoring the name of Yahweh.
A denomination, let's do it that way.
Yeah. Is there a denomination? The closest might be the Jehovah Witnesses, and they have the name wrong.
Right.
Well, there are isolated little...
Yeah, there are. Go ahead, brother. There are
pockets. Even some blacks. Now, that is a very controversial thing. Now, there are going to be other races after all of this settles, but they're not going to be allowed to enter New Jerusalem.
That's right.
They will be hewers of wood and drawers of water. They will be subservient to the true race of Israel, and they will live their natural lifespans while we will have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, oh, everybody's going to be saved. Well, they get that saved from the mistranslation of the New Testament. And it doesn't say saved. It means preserved alive.
Right.
You're not going to go running up in a dog and pony show and fall down before an altar with a Judeo-Christian preacher on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm saved. I'm born again. Well, it doesn't say born again either. It's just born from above.
Man, you got that right.
Yeah.
And they're leading these people around by the nose with these mistranslations. It's like they're a great big cow with a ring in their nose, and a little child is leading them around with a little string on that ring.
Well, Pastor
and
Steve,
it it's terrible.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because the whole industry of Judeo-Christianity is revolving around.
Industry. Amen on industry.
Yeah, that's a good choice of word.
That's what it is. Right.
It is. Yeah. It's a business.
It is. It's a business, right? And this business has been predicated on interpreting the word saved to mean you go to heaven when you die.
Yeah, but eternal life.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
that
at all.
Any two-legged creature that prays a prayer gets eternal life.
Even we don't go to
heaven right?
when we die. We sleep.
Correct. Yeah, we sleep.
We sleep.
Yeah, that heaven, that kingdom of heaven.
In the dust. People don't like to read the scripture.
Right.
And they'd like to have it read to them by somebody else, because they don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They don't want to read it.
And you said it correctly, Pastor. It means to be preserved alive, to be rescued, to be kept alive, saved from calamity in this world, in this lifetime. It does not have an otherworldly or post- connotation
it
at all.
Right straight in Revelations, like I read the other day, they're going to destroy those who don't know Elohim. It says that in 2 Thessalonians as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those that don't know Elohim. Well, even some of these other races may know that we're Yahweh's chosen people and that he is our God. And they don't want to get crossways with that. Others in their race will want to harm us. They will be the evil ones. Well, the ones that don't want to do us direct harm will be preserved alive. The others will be slain.
Right.
They don't even get a chance at being resurrected, because they're not us.
Mm-hmm.
This covenant is only with us.
Israel.
We will be resurrected, some for eternal life, some for the second death. There's a lot of the Israelites that are scumbags out there.
That's right.
I'm sorry to say that, but that's how it is.
Yep.
You see the ones that are shills and suck-ups for these Hollywood scum, they're going to pay the price. They're going to see the second death.
Yep. Yes, they are.
And you try to tell people that. And I saw an article by Mel Gibson today. He's had to leave the country. He's someplace else.
Yeah.
And he says it's just nothing but pedophiles and scumballs in Hollywood.
That's right. So he's one of the good guys, even though he's not an identity. Yeah.
He sure made that movie about, what was that?
Who, Mel
Passion
Gibson?
Passion of the Christ.
Yeah. Huh? Passion of the Christ.
Passion of Christ and the other one about Wallace.
Yeah, Patriot or whatever it was. Yeah. Okay, yeah, so chances are we will see him in the kingdom, but there are a lot of white people aren't going to make it. They will be resurrected to eternal damnation.
We might see him on the front line with me and Greg and Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan's locked and loaded, man.
Right, exactly. Right.
Hey, I've listened to his sermons, man. He is on fire.
Okay, Pastor Greg, verse 61 confirms what we just said. Why don't you read it?
Yeah, he says, I will not grieve over the multitude of those who perish. Again, he's speaking only of white people here, no one else.
Yeah.
For it is they who are now like a mist and are similar to a flame and smoke. They are set on fire and burn hotly and are extinguished. This is unfortunately so true, probably more true now than when these verses were written.
Oh, for sure.
This describes the majority of the white race right now. I mean, how many of our people are so screwed up in the head that when you hear them being interviewed and you hear them discussing their beliefs, you just sit there and go, how can you be white and say these things? I mean, our people are just, they're set on, this verse says
like
they are set, they're set on fire. They're already on fire.
Everything else has been perverted by the Jew. They perverted the minds of our white people.
Yeah.
Our people are already on fire, according to this verse.
Yeah.
They're not even in judgment yet. And the verse says that they might as well be. They're already on fire.
Look at all the libtards, you know, on the college campuses deploring their own whiteness.
I know.
Yeah. It's incredible.
They hate the fact they were born white.
Yeah, right.
If they could push a button and undo it, they'd come back as a Negro.
I see all the coal-burning white women walking around with their monkey of choice here in town.
Think I don't see that in New York?
Station, and I just grit my teeth. I hang my head. I keep my mouth shut.
I know. I'm the same way.
Not going to do
any
good.
Bite your tongue.
I want to unleash my inner Phineas priesthood on them, but I realize...
Oh, amen and amen.
It's not now. I can't do it. I want to. But they're damning their souls, and I just stand back and let them do it. What can you do?
Yahweh is going to give us the go order. May or may not be when Yeshua comes back. Mm-hmm. Maybe setting the stage... he does not want us to just lay down.
No, he wants us to
honorable. We're to wait on Yahweh, and Yahweh will get the victory.
Be ready.
But he has always used us. You are my battle axe and my weapons of war. He does not expect us to
sit by idly.
Lay around. Oh, it's not time yet. Please don't hurt me. I already was in that situation. And when a man pulled a gun on me, I don't give a doggone who he was. I lit him up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
No other choice.
I went to prison for it. And you think I've changed? Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh.
Verse 62, I replied and said, O earth, what have you brought forth? If the mind is made out of the dust like the other created things. Well, I mean, if you looked inside the brains of libtards and Judeo-Christians.
They have brains?
Dust?
Do they? Are you serious? They have brains?
It doesn't appear like it to me. Verse 63. For it would have been better if the dust itself had not been born, so that the mind might not have been made from it. I mean, he's in
serious... This is the lamentation here of Ezra, that our people are going to be destroyed, most of them.
Yeah, this is serious lamentation.
Yeah. Well, that's what the meaning of remnant is, a small part of the whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all this body is, brothers, is a choosing ground. We choose whom we'll serve.
But only an aware Israelite could say these words and understand them. Verse 64, but now the mind grows with us, and therefore we are tormented, because we perish and we know it.
Yep.
Do you think the Negroes and the Mexicans and the Chinese go through hand-wringing like this over their own existence and their, no. their, you know, their future life? No,
they have
don't.
No concept of eternity.
They don't have a future life, so what the hell do they care?
Right. That's right. That's okay. why their life
live,
is so
you
low.
Die like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow yeah. or other beast of the field. Mm-hmm. Like I have said in my sermons, you've got nice dogs that you can pet and you can feed them, and you got really vicious dogs that you have to put down. But they're still dogs, and they need to live in dog land, not in Adam land.
Meaner than a junkyard dog, right?
Yeah, well.
Well, it says, let the human race lament, and I think you expressed last time that, of course, this word human is an addition to the translation.
It had to be the Adamic, the right. Adam race right. here. Yeah. There's no way the word human, human is a Jewish terminology.
Right. Yeah.
There's no way that it meant everybody on the face right. of the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the whole book is the opposite of that.
Yeah. And here is actually the lamentation is more even exclusive than that. It's Israel. He's speaking of the Israel people who are, of course, derived from the Adamic race and the Hebrew race, etc.
Yeah, but he's saying let the white race lament. That's what he's saying here.
Yeah, but let the beasts of the field
we lament. Have to do this because of the tampering over time with all of the scripture, and they have messed with it.
Yeah,
and it's very hard to find the original tongue.
Right.
With all this written down, but if you go into the original tongue, as I have in the Old Testament, it says something entirely different than what the King James and most of the other versions
right.
say. The closest I've seen, as far as the most accurate, is the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research mm-hmm. out of South Africa.
Okay. And I don't know if there is an original Hebrew of the Apocrypha, so we really can't.
No,
it probably
it was written in the Greek.
Some library yeah, this is Greek. Somewhere, this but
it was yeah. written in Greek.
But it says, "But let the beasts of the field be glad." Okay, mm-hmm. let them be glad, because yeah, mm-hmm. they don't have this worry. Only we do. Let all who have been born lament, but let the four-footed beasts and the flocks rejoice. Okay.
They, yeah, you know, mine says, let the cattle and the flocks rejoice.
Okay.
Because they got grass.
Right.
And that's all, you know, they're going to eat grass and they're going to sit around and chew their cud. Yeah. And that's just fine. They don't have a mind like ours that they worry about things. Their main thing is putting food in their face, and that's it.
They don't have existence.
They don't have this existential dilemma that we do. Yeah.
They do not have the worry or concern of facing a judgment at the end of this life.
Yeah.
Like
they
we
don't
do.
Worry about it.
No.
That's the biggest thing for them. They are alive for 60, 70, however many years, and then they're done. That's their lifespan. And let's see here, verse 66. For it is much better with them than with us, for they do not
they
look
for judgment.
They don't
have these worries. Right?
Nor do they know of any torment or salvation promised to them after death. You know, where did Judeo-Christianity get this concept that Yahshua Christ died for every two-legged creature on the planet?
Or even four-legged.
What demented satanic rabbi sold us that bill of goods, that there should be missions,
is my
missionaries
dog gonna be with
to
me
other
in
races? Where did that come? You know... That makes me crazy.
What did the king of the Mamba Jabbas say when all the missionaries showed up with their cases of Bible? What did he say?
Make a good fire.
Light the water pots. We're eating well tonight.
I don't know what. He said, dinner is served.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah, he was educated in London.
They would have counted my answer.
Yeah, right. You ruined my joke.
Sorry, brother.
You ruined my joke. Yeah. I have so much.
We were close.
It is so joyful just praising Yahweh and talking about Yahweh's laws and his rules and what it says in his word, isn't it?
Oh.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Verse 67. For what does it profit us that we shall be preserved alive, but cruelly tormented? For all who have been born are involved in iniquities and are full of sins and burdened with transgressions. And if we were not to come into judgment after death, perhaps it would have been better for us. He answered me and said, when the Most High made the world and Adam and all who have come from him, he first prepared the judgment and the things that pertain to the judgment.
All right. Did how all races come right from here? Adam? Yes or no?
No.
negatory, Will Robinson. Yes. Right.
So it says here very clearly, Adam and his direct descendants and no other people. Okay.
Absolutely. A very specific language here.
Yeah.
And now understand from your own words, for you have said that the mind grows with us. For this reason, therefore, those who dwell on earth shall be tormented, because though they had understanding, they committed iniquity. And though they received thy command, the commandments, they did not keep them. And though they obtained the law, they dealt unfaithfully with what they received. We could do a whole show on how our people have rejected the law of Yahweh, and have been taught that it's been done away with, and we're in the age of grace, and on and on and on, and all the heresy associated with that mindset. What then will they have to say in the judgment? Or how will they answer in the last times? Oh, I guess this law still applies in the last times here.
Yeah, what else could we be judged by if there is no law?
Right. For how long the time is that the Most High has been patient with those who inhabit the world, and not for their sake, but because of the times which he has foreordained. I answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O Yahweh, show this also to thy servant, whether after death, as soon as every one of us yields up his soul, shall we be kept in rest until those times come when thou wilt renew the creation? Or whether shall we be tormented at once?
Well, I think we'd rather be asleep than have nightmares until the judgment day.
Well, Scripture says they will sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, Ezra is going to break it down for us in exquisite detail, starting here in the next couple of verses. And to me, these are some of the deepest and most incredible verses that I've ever read in all of Scripture anywhere, because it breaks down the eternity for the elect of Yahweh and for those that are rejected at the judgment.
Right.
And the detail is very, very strong.
Yeah.
Scary here. These are terrifying verses, some
Paul
of them.
Paul continually refers to our death as a form of sleep. Okay. So, so we are being kept in a state of suspended animation. The extent to which our sleeping souls have awareness of our surroundings in that state, we don't know. We're not told exactly. But nevertheless, we will be resurrected either unto eternal life or unto eternal damnation, one or the other, when that day comes. So that's what we have to prepare ourselves for.
So he gets into it here.
76.
You know, Ezra has said, you know, tell me what happens after death to your children, Yahweh. And verse 76, he answered me and said, I will show you that also, but do not be associated with those who have shown scorn, nor number yourself among those who are tormented.
Okay.
A little bit of a rebuke here to Ezra.
Yeah, there's scorners
Ezra
everywhere.
Ezra was identifying a little too much with the rejected ones, as opposed to the handful of the selected ones.
Well, he's in a state of torment. You know, why did you create us? Just to torment us like this, right? I mean, that's a fair question.
Right. It's a fair question. And he had a tremendous heart for Yahweh's people. He was a Levitical priest. He was a true priest of Yahweh.
Well, he's commiserating with the rest of Israel and also with the entire Adamic race. You know, why are we suffering like this? You know,
why do we preach week after week after week? Because we have a heart for the rest of Israel.
Amen.
And if we can win one over, it's a great victory. One.
Amen. Yeah. The prodigal son.
Let's get into this. And they start off with the ones that are damned first and what happens to them. Frankly, these verses terrify me every time I read them. We're starting here.
Verse 77,
I think. 77 here.
Right.
He says, Ezra, for you have a treasure of works laid up with the Most High, but it will not be shown to you until the last times.
Okay.
Now concerning death, the teaching is, when the decisive decree is gone forth from the Most High, that a man shall die, as the spirit leaves the body to return again to him who gave it, first of all, it adores the glory of the Most High. Keep in mind here, we're talking about the white men and women that will be rejected of Yahweh.
Okay.
The first thing that happens,
how many
their
people,
spirit adores. Yeah.
How many people who've had near-death experiences say, I just was
I saw a light.
White light and the most peaceful, calm, protective force I have ever felt. Now, certainly, I have never felt it in my physical body. This presence came over me, and I did not want to come back into this life.
Excellent observation, brother.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of it that way. They were probably experiencing what this verse is saying.
Exactly.
Perhaps their spirit did leave the body for a short time, or who knows, but they got a glimpse of the glory of Yahweh.
There you go.
They saw the bright light, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think this verse makes it clear what these folks were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were lucky that they didn't die then, because then the rest of what we're going to read would happen to them.
Okay.
So they, because they're saying even the damned adore the glory of Yahweh initially.
Yeah, right.
They get a vision of the glory of Yahweh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's what happens
here
to those who actually die?
And if it is one of those who have shown scorn and have not kept the way of the Most High and have despised his law and who have hated those who fear Yahweh. Wow, that's so many of our people today.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Christians, Judeo-Christians.
Yes. Such spirits shall not enter into habitations. These are the places of rest that Enoch detailed for us. I think the habitations are the initial place in the chambers of the where the righteous go to sleep until the second, you know, the coming of Christ. The habitations, I believe, are the places of rest. It says, they shall not enter into those places. They shall immediately wander about in torments, ever grieving and sad in seven ways. So now Ezra's going to detail what happens to these folks after they die.
So seven isn't always lucky.
No. It says, so this is why these ones will wander about in torments, ever grieving, sad in seven ways. The first way, why? The very first way, because they have scorned the law of the Most High.
Okay. Well,
what do you make of that, brother?
Well, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of Israelites here who do no longer obey his laws. I mean, hundreds
of
thousands.
Oh, it's all nailed to the cross. We don't have to fool with that.
Right? Dispensationalists.
I'm born again. I went up to altar and
Antinomians. I mean. Yeah.
What would you say, what would you two brothers say are the top three ways that the Judeo-Christian people today spit in the face of Yahweh by just disobeying his laws? I can name one of them right off.
Keeping pagan holidays.
Yeah, that.
All right.
Right.
I was going to say another one's race mixing.
Sure. Yep.
I think that's one of the greatest sins out there of our people.
Yeah, we talked about that last Friday, Greg.
That's the unforgivable sin.
Yes. Yeah, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And basically rejecting the God of the Old Testament. Yeah, we're New Testament Christians. You know, we believe in Jesus, but not the Father. I mean, there's so many. You know, I bet there's
more
than
seven. The little babe in a manger, so harmless, so loving. He loved everyone. Yeah. That's why I hate nativity scenes, by the way. I hate to see that little clay mocha-colored baby Jesus in the nativity scenes. That makes me absolutely psychotic.
Wasn't there a rainbow over?
He's so harmless, that little cutie. You know?
Wasn't there a rainbow on his head? Okay, the Rainbow Coalition, they've had their day.
All right, the first way was they have scorned the law of the Most High. The second way because they cannot now make a good repentance that they may live. It's too late. Mm-hmm. Once you die,
yeah,
the ticket is punched. There's no, you cannot, after you die,
no
cannot go
chance.
Back.
Yeah.
And, you know, Enoch had this same conversation here. If I can get a quick handle on my Roman numerals, I've got these verses marked out. Let's see, L is 50, X is 10, so there's chapter 60. I'm looking for Enoch 62, and I have this cross-reference here.
Okay.
And it's worth reading because, you know, a lot of these books are very similar in theme. And let's see, Enoch 62.
Okay, let me just repeat verse 80. The second way is because they cannot now make a good repentance that they may live. So the way this is phrased, it's suggesting that there may be some kind of repentance, but whether or not they get into the kingdom is in dispute. This expression, good repentance, is kind of questionable. I wonder if it's a bad translation here.
But, I got 62 right in front of me if you want.
Yeah, basically okay. the whole chapters here discuss, this is Enoch's version, essentially, of what's happening here.
Okay.
It's almost too detailed to get into a little bit, but Enoch saw the same vision here, essentially, that Ezra's detailing. He saw the wicked and the mighty come before Yahweh and how they were cast into the fire. And he saw the elect come before Yahweh. And I don't know, these verses in Enoch are so deep. I almost don't want to get into them because it'll take over the show.
Right.
Yeah, it's. Well, I had a specific verse, but
let's start verse 8. Let me read this. And
okay.
Now small is the rest we desire, but we do not find it. We reject and do not possess it. Light has passed away from before us, and darkness has covered our thrones forever. For we have not confessed before him. We have not glorified the name of the Lord of kings. We have not glorified Yahweh in all his works. But we have trusted in the scepter of our dominion and our glory. In the day of our suffering and of our trouble, he will not save us. Neither shall we find rest. We confess that Yahweh is faithful in all his works and all his judgments and all his righteousness. In his, I got a sneeze. man.
My mother said whenever you sneeze, it means what you're saying is true.
Okay. In his judgments, he pays no respect of our evil deeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's Acts 10:34. All our sins are truly without number. Then they shall say to themselves, our souls are satiated with the instruments of crime. But that presents us not from descending to the flaming womb of hell.
Well, it causes it.
Afterward, their countenances shall be filled with darkness and confusion before the Son of Adam, from whose presence they shall be expelled, and before whom the sword shall remain to expel them.
Yeah.
Thus
these people,
the Lord of spirits, this is the decree and the judgment against the princes, the kings, the exalted, and those who possess the earth in the presence of the Lord of spirits.
Okay. Many of these people will simply mock Yahweh and Yahshua. What do you think their judgment's going to be?
I believe those verses that Steve just read in Enoch is the specific judgment against the seed line of Cain there, because it discusses them controlling the earth and how they trusted in their wealth.
Right.
And their scepter of their kingdom was the source of their power.
Yeah, but our people who joined them. You know,
They're sure included in there.
All the suck-ups
right.
that are sycophants and follow along with them because they want a little bit of that earthly power
because
they don't believe in a heavenly power.
That's right.
The first way
to find out a rude awakening, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So the first way our people will be judged is because they've scorned the law of Yahweh. The second way is that once they die, they can no longer repent.
Yeah, they didn't repent
it says
in
the
time.
Third way, they shall They shall see the reward laid up for those who have trusted the covenants of the Most High.
They will see us rejoicing.
So, these covenants,
party time,
deal with
the various covenants that have not passed away,
right?
That we trust in the Abrahamic covenant.
Amen.
You know, the various covenants.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. The more you look at it, the more the Old Testament becomes alive. The old covenants. It says the fourth way they shall consider the torment laid up for themselves in the last days.
Yeah, they will have to take
finally,
it seriously.
They will realize judgment is coming for them.
Right. Ouch.
So many of these people in the Judeo-Christian churches will look you in the eye and go, "You know, if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven."
Right.
I just I hear that and I go,
I don't want to. I don't want to dwell on this.
Show me a single verse that says you're going to heaven. Show me one verse.
Right.
They can't.
Well, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So it's just going to be a new state of consciousness, a new state of being that will reward us. We will be in our reward. We'll get our spirit bodies. Okay. And then we will be able to see heaven right from where we're at. Right now we can't see it.
A handful of our people have gone to heaven. We can name them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's only two in Scripture.
All right. Enoch went to heaven.
Let's not forget this.
Elijah went to heaven.
When Yeshua taught us to pray, he says, "Thy kingdom come."
Mm-hmm.
We're not going there. It's coming here.
Right.
That's it.
Got it?
So, and the meek shall inherit the earth.
They shall inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our destiny is here, brothers. Our destiny is right here. Absolutely.
He formed this place in the first place.
Yeah.
And he can reform it and clean it up after all our doo-doo that we leave behind us in the society that we live in now. So,
but our consciousness will be so greatly expanded. It will seem like a new world. Okay.
Well, it will be a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So
what's next?
At this point, they'll have
torment.
A full consideration.
They don't get it. They don't get what we get. Are they going to be jealous or what?
At this point, our people will consider the torment laid up for them. They'll understand.
Yeah. For at least for a while.
Their destiny is torment.
Yeah. Yes.
The sixth way. Let's see. The fifth way. The fifth way, they shall see how the habitations of the others are guarded by angels in profound quiet.
Oh, peace.
See, this is where we go when we die.
Shalom.
We go to the place of rest.
Profound quiet.
Where angels will guard us in profound silence. Now, how much consciousness we have during that time?
Right.
It's hard to say, but the verses coming up will show us that for a period of time, we're completely conscious and are given a tremendous understanding of what we are about to inherit.
Yeah.
But we are guarded by angels in profound quiet. That is the current destiny of a righteous person.
Right. Like
that
doting
died.
Like doting parents looking at their beautiful little baby.
Yeah. Guarded by angels. I think you could sleep pretty well knowing you're guarded by angels.
Yeah, right.
I could.
Mm-hmm.
No Negro home invasions. I'm guarded by angels.
Right.
I'm going to sleep really good. I'm going to sleep well.
Yeah.
The sixth way, they shall see how some of them will pass over into torments.
Hmm.
So again, this matter of torment, the torment now is coming to them and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says the seventh way, which is worse than all the ways that have been mentioned. Because they shall utterly waste away in confusion and be consumed with shame and shall wither with fear at seeing the glory of the Most High, before whom they sinned while they were alive and before whom they are to be judged in the last times.
Okay, let me...
The seventh way, which is worse, actually the Ethiopic is greater. Than all the ways that have been mentioned.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not much lost in the translation there. But here we see that those who have simply avoided and deliberately avoided all of the teachings of the Holy Scriptures that were meant for them, okay, that they will, let me put it this way, even the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all those who were visited by the angel, here, Esdras, they were in profound fear and awestruck when Yahweh's angel visited them and spoke to them, as was Joseph and was Mary. So can you imagine the fear and awe of these guilty people?
No, but yeah, well said. Yeah, the righteous were terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the righteous were terrified.
If you were not the righteous.
Yeah.
You,
I don't want to imagine it.
That's why I said, brothers, when I read these verses, I tremble.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I realize this is the real, this is as real as it gets.
Right.
We're talking eternity here. This is the negative eternity that we just went over.
Okay.
Now, praise Yahweh, the positive eternity is incredible, and we're about to get into that.
And this is for the righteous remnant.
This is the destiny of the rejectors of Yahweh. This is their destiny. We just went over it. It's horrible.
Right.
It's they just don't die and go to sleep. They wish wish that's what it was.
Right.
It's just the opposite. It's eternal torment. It's they waste away in confusion. They're consumed with shame, wither with fear. I mean, it's horrible. My heart. Now we see why Ezra's heart was broken.
Reminds me of the South Side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopeless.
What do we have over the Thanksgiving Day weekend? 30 murders. And I don't know how many wounded.
Aren't they going to run out of people?
They keep making more, Steve.
30 murders over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. In Chicago.
Incredible.
I'm glad it's on the south side. Right?
So let's get into the positive message here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we went over the negative, and it's terrible, and I don't want to dwell on it because it brings you down to even see that so many of our people are headed down that road. Let's look at the eternity of Yahweh's
verse number
children.
88.
Yeah, it says, now, this is the order of those who have kept the ways of the Most High when they shall be separated from their mortal bodies. During the time that they lived in it, they laboriously served the Most High and withstood danger every hour that they might keep the law of the lawgiver perfectly. Wow, keeping the law apparently is a big deal here.
That they might. We try. Many of us do not succeed, and we have periods in our lives where we don't succeed at all. But we know when we're doing wrong, and we come out of it.
Yeah. He says, therefore, this is the teaching concerning them. And I love the clarity here.
Yeah.
Here's the reward for the lovers of Yahweh. First of all, they shall see with great joy the glory of him who receives them. For they shall have rest in seven orders. Now, notice the difference between when their spirit is separated from the body.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember now, the wicked, when they die, it says,
they just wander about.
Well, initially, though, when they die, it says, where is it here? Where is it? Where when they leave the body, they saw the... when a man dies, first of all, it adores the glory of the Most High. So that was the initial response of the wicked. They see the glory of the Most High and adore it. Now, our first response is we see with great joy the glory of him who receives them.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't say the wicked see it with great joy.
No, they're terrified.
Yeah,
when they see it,
and that word "adore" is probably not a very accurate translation.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they see the great glory of Yahweh, and of course they're awed by it.
Yeah,
but I don't think there's great joy because they realize I think I'm in trouble here.
Yeah, that's right.
We see that glory with great joy, and we have seven orders of rest. The first order, because we have striven with great effort to overcome the evil thought which was formed with them, that it might not lead them astray from life into death. The second order, because they see the perplexity in which the souls of the ungodly wander and the punishment that awaits them.
Yeah, we can see, you know, what disobedience results in. You know, we can see the drug addiction and how it ruins their lives. And they're involved in it and they don't see it.
You know, this is what goes on with us immediately after death. We are conscious after death, at least for a period of time. According to this verse, we have 7 days where we go through this before we're gathered into the habitations. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. But we observe the perplexity of the wicked being judged here. Actually, technically, they're not being judged yet, but they are in a period of prejudgment, of torment. They're being tormented.
Prejudgment.
No question
Very
about
good.
It.
Good term. Prejudgment.
Verse 94, the third order, they see the witness which he who has formed them bears concerning them, that while they were alive, they kept the law which was given them in trust. So there's going to be a witness when we die.
Yeah, a law-abiding witness.
Yahweh's children.
So in other words, a truth-telling witness, right?
That's right.
Right? Okay.
So this is quite good. We'll be very secure upon death.
Well, people wonder why, you know, we do what we do and we're not afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
This is fire and brimstone, brothers. This is fire and brimstone.
It gets very good here coming up, brothers. Verse 95. The fourth order. They understand the rest which they now enjoy, being gathered into their chambers and guarded by angels in profound quiet, and the glory which awaits them in the last days.
Wow. Yeah. We get a glimpse of it in this life.
Yes.
But what we're being told here is the righteous, once they have been... So what this is saying, that once the righteous are in their chamber, they are able to contemplate the upcoming glory.
Yeah, I think they're given a very good initial vision of it.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that people don't understand is time stops.
Yeah.
We're not going to be there. Man, I'm bored. I want to do something.
Come on, let's get it over with.
Yeah. Let's go bowling.
The passage of time,
right,
does not wear on us like it does now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Our life here is going to be totally different than our life after.
Yeah.
Like daylight and dark. We are subject to all the turmoil and the travails, and we have to anguish over our brethren that are just going down the road to perdition, and all we'll have peace from that.
Behold, I make all things new. There will be no boredom. There will be no boredom.
Eli, let me ask you a question. This is the second time this phrase has come up, that we will be guarded by angels in profound quiet. Why would you say we need to be guarded by angels? What's that bring to your mind?
Well, the Garden of Eden. Didn't Yahweh
Nobody.
Go ahead, Steve. Finish.
Wait, that nobody will disturb our rest.
That's right. Yeah, so
the end hasn't come yet. Evil, wicked angels have not been judged yet at this point.
Well, the entrance to the kingdom is being guarded.
We need to be guarded, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Evil will still exist until the end of the age, when it will be dealt with decisively.
Right.
Yahweh will be guarding us in our chambers as we rest, awaiting the end of the age.
Ruling with a rod of iron. It will be dealt with swiftly. There will be no delay.
So we'll be guarded by angels in profound quiet and the glory which awaits them in the last days. The fifth order, they rejoice that they have now escaped what is corruptible and shall inherit what is to come. And besides, they see the straits and toil from which they have been delivered, and the spacious liberty which they are to receive and enjoy in immortality. Praise Yahweh. There is eternal life for our people. We will be immortal in the coming age. We're immortal now, but we will enjoy the fruits of immortality in the coming age. And these next couple of verses really break down what will happen to us in the coming age. He says the sixth order, verse 97, when it is shown to them how their face is to shine like the sun and how they are to be made like the light of the stars, being incorruptible from then on.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Moses' face when he came, came down from the mountain?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And why did
he had to put a veil? Mm-hmm. He had to put a veil over his face because he frightened the people.
Yeah. Well, what about Enoch? Wasn't Enoch born with such a...
Yep, same way.
Right.
Yep.
Bright faces. You know, his own father became concerned, scared when he saw his face.
And I'm thinking here of a verse, if I can find it real quick, in Matthew chapter 13. I thought I had it written down in here. But it talks about... Let's see. Where is the verse that talks about that our face will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father?
Uh-huh.
And I believe that Yahshua Christ here was giving a tip of the hat, so to speak, to the writing of this book, because he so perfectly discusses that at the end of the age, our face will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Oh, here it is, verse 43.
Okay.
Chapter 13 of Matthew. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father.
Mm-hmm.
Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And Ezra's saying it even in a more clear way, that our face will shine like the sun, and we will be made like the light of the stars. This has got to be the full restoration of our original Shekinah glory that we had before the fall of Adam.
Amen.
This is what we were meant to be. And it will be restored to the faithful ones. Your face will shine like the sun. Praise Yahweh.
Right. Yeah.
We dare not miss out on this, brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Now, just because new people listening to this probably asking, well, why and how did all this get corrupted? You know, that a restoration is even necessary. And, of course, we in two seed line have the answer for that, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to the garden where the enmity was declared, where Adam and Eve fell, they sinned, and they had to put loincloths because one of Lucifer's angels corrupted Eve's womb and brought forth Cain. Okay? Wherefore, she was no longer able to bear immortal offspring, which was the intention. Okay? That's where it all started, okay? It's the two-seed line doctrine. But you don't even have to believe two-seed line to understand that there are two seed lines documented in the scriptures, the seed line of Cain and the seed line of Adam through Seth.
Okay? Brother, one look at Harvey Weinstein, I know there's an evil seed line on the earth traced back to somebody. There's no way a creature like that just came normally into the world.
Right.
You know, the seed line of Cain lives today.
Okay,
no doubt about it.
About 3 minutes. Maybe we can finish up these six orders, or seven orders,
So our face will shine like the sun. We will have immortality.
Amen.
And they says this, the seventh order, which is greater than all that have been mentioned, because they shall rejoice with boldness and shall be confident without confusion and shall be glad without fear. For they hasten to behold the face of him whom they served in life, and from whom they are to receive their reward when glorified.
Amen. So, what a
spectacular verse.
Right.
What an amazing, beautiful, incredible verse that verse is.
Can you be anything but righteous in order to have such an expectation?
No. To have such bold go forward with boldness toward Yahweh. Boldness, not even humility, boldness to see him.
Yes.
With confidence. We will hasten to see his face. Yeah.
Yeah.
You only get that if you have lived the faithful life now.
Yeah.
You cannot manufacture that after death. Not a chance.
Right.
No
way. Okay. Why don't you take it to verse 100, because we only have like two minutes left.
This is the order of the souls of the righteous, as henceforth is announced, and the aforesaid are the ways of torment, which those who would not give heed shall suffer hereafter. I answered and said, will time be given to the souls after they have been separated from the bodies to see what you have described to me? He said to me, they shall have freedom for 7 days, so that during these 7 days they may see the things of which you have been told, and afterwards they shall be gathered into their habitations.
Okay, so there'll be a 7-day period.
So apparently we get a week. There's a 7-day period after death where everything is laid out for you, whether good or bad, apparently.
Right. Well, don't the saints and all the Christian martyrs all talk about the day, seeing your whole life flash before your eyes and being judged, standing before the judgment throne? Don't they all talk about these things?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to experience, folks.
Let me ask you, brothers, this. Have you ever seen verses that lay out the eternity of a believer in such incredible detail as this? The seven orders of reward here. No. The seven orders of rest.
Pulls no punches on this.
Right.
No punches whatsoever.
Yes. All right, folks, I think we're already right at the end. So
57. Shalom aleichem to everybody.
Take care. Yahweh bless. See you next
time.
Praise
Yahweh, saints.
Praise Yahweh. Bye-bye.